This is CliffCentral.com.
Let us bring in that beautiful woman who's sitting in there with you. That Lerato Shabalala woman. Let her come in here and say hello to us. She looks resplendent today. Badam, bam. You want to say something, Mubs?
I am obsessed with Lerato Shabalala. I think I creep her out a little bit.
Yeah.
But, yeah, she's lovely.
Here she is. Yay! What a pleasure to see you.
Good morning, everybody. Yeah. Hello.
I haven't had you in the studio with me before. I mean, we're used to you running the thing yourself.
Yes.
Every day at 11.
It's really kind of strange because Lucas was like, how does it feel to be on the other side, to actually be asked to come in, because it's usually the other way around.
What's wrong with him? You've never been on this side before. What are you talking about? What's it like? Give her a chance to experience it first. You got your head up your ass this morning. So how are you?
Oh my gosh, I'm so excited. I'm like excited and nervous and excited. And Ben Mavale, hi.
Hello.
How are you guys?
We're good.
Yeah, this is very different. We normally sit outside and everyone's just going about the day. Yeah. And then Loretta arrives and it's like, well, bam. And everyone just stops and looks.
Yeah. Now, you've had an incredible 2016, right?
Oh my gosh.
I mean, what would you say the percentage breakdown of good and bad is?
I think 50-50. I
really?
Always say it's equal servings of cuck and greatness. Was that a swear word to
no,
dude?
You can, please, no, you can say whatever you like.
3 minutes
you know
too
that.
Early.
Now, I mean, you wrote this amazing book this year, and it got you into huge trouble because people found one thing in an entire book of fantastic stuff. I've read it. It's a great book.
Thank you, Kevin.
Beautifully written. You've been in publishing for how long? You know what you're doing. You've been a writer.
Yeah.
You've done lots of this stuff before. You didn't expect controversy.
No, no.
They find one thing in the book, and they'd give you endless heaps of steaming crap about it.
Yeah.
I mean, that was a hell of a way to start the year.
It was. And I think the thing about it was that it was really shocking, because in the book, I have very sort of honest, as you say, musings about white people and whiteness, and so when I was talking to my friends, I was like, oh, I'm really worried that white people are gonna come after me, and it actually was the complete opposite. You know, it was an interesting experience in that way, because these are things that black people, the things in my book are things that black people and white people say all the time to each other, that I thought, since we're saying it, was not really groundbreaking, because we say it at dinner.
And you would also think, I mean, this is the funny thing about this country, right, is we'll all have conversations here. It'll all be very interesting. It'll sometimes be funny. It'll sometimes be amusing. It'll sometimes be a little close to the bone. But then you hear about it in another context, the exact same words. And someone who's super sensitive thinks, oh, my God, the whole world's falling down on me. We need to kill ourselves.
Yeah. I also, though, think, Gareth, that because of social media is, you are right as long as you agree with me. As long as I agree with you, you are right.
Right.
Okay. And so the problem is when you go the other way. It's like, well, no, let's go get her for not agreeing with us.
Yeah, there's this mob.
Yeah, and I have never, I said this over and over, that I am a journalist. I'm on the side of truth. And I'm not on the side of black people, of white people, of women. I'm on the side of truth. And if that truth happens to benefit any of those groups of people, then that's great. Then I've achieved what I'm meant to do.
I remember when the book came out, I found this. This was published on, I think, the 13th of July, and some Lusom Tali said, I will not be buying your anti-black book, Lerato Shabalala. The way I see it, the musings of a black woman in the Rainbow Nation, then this person says, reviewing a book without having read it is tricky. You can tell when someone hasn't read something and still takes the time to talk about it. It's an effect, a silly one at times and a dangerous one in some cases. In tackling a review of this book, it seemed to me to be a bit of both. Silly, because why would I attempt to do something that feels like slander in one sense, and then at once a dangerous promoting of ideas and values that are antithetical to mine? But I have to say, a discussion of Lerato Shabalala's book is far from mere affectation. The ideas in her book need to be challenged, whether we've read the whole thing or not. This rocket scientist.
But
let's just get into this for a second. So this rocket scientist wants us to believe, now, without knowing the contents of the book, They're going to protect us from its contents by challenging the ideas they're not entirely sure you have espoused in the book.
Yeah.
What is that?
It's so funny. It's
what kind of philosophy is this? Is this called idiocy? What do you even call that?
I love how they have to sound smart as well while they're saying it. Like, well, I haven't read it. I don't know anything about it. But let me just use these big words to distract you.
To make it seem like I'm credible.
Exactly. Yeah. And there were a lot of people. I mean, one of the reviews that I remember, I forget the girl's name. She said, Lerato doesn't deserve to be so unwoke.
What a compliment!
You know,
I hope you went home that night with a giant dildo. That is a turn on.
She deserves more.
I don't understand this. If the point of free speech is to have opinions,
yep.
Sometimes those opinions, not everybody's favorite opinions. Mm-hmm. Sometimes they're going to go, oh no, I disagree with Lerato on everything. That's okay. That doesn't mean you can't be friends. Doesn't mean you can't respect each other. And it doesn't mean you can't hear each other.
And that's the thing, isn't it, Gareth? So when you, on everything, when you were, one of the first chapters, I think it is the first chapter, you talk about the fact that people need to have opinions. Hmm. That you actually think lowly of people when they don't have opinions. Hmm. And I had never used social media actually to talk about anything, and you have.
Well, you didn't have to, because you had actual publication.
No, exactly.
Actual publication. You used to write actual columns every week. You were the editor of actual magazines that people paid for.
Exactly.
Who's paid for this idiot's musings on their blog?
For a book that they have not read.
Yeah.
So I learned really quickly that, wait a minute, I have opinions, and luckily, because I'm a journalist, they informed. When I was writing the book, my editor, Ronelle, poked a lot of holes in it. And she said to me, I'm doing that because you're going to get a lot of flack. Mm. And at the beginning, I was in my feelings. I was like, she can't ask me about this. I am black. No. This is how I feel. I don't have to substantiate it. And after 3 months, I really did. I was like, I don't know why I even wrote the stamp book. And then I thought, what are you? You're a journalist. So before the columns, before everything else, what you did was gather evidence and proof, and then present it to the people. So what you're going to do, instead of arguing that it's hard being a black person, you are going to pull the stats. You are actually going to write what it is like to be you and be a black woman.
Good luck.
Right now.
Good luck.
Didn't matter though.
Because people don't care about
they
facts.
Don't care. No.
It's all about their feelings.
Why let the facts get in the way of a good story?
Correct. So, I mean, look, you brushed that. So the book's done really well though.
It has. It's still on the top seller list, and it was, I think, a couple of months ago, it was on the top three nonfiction books in South Africa.
Well, that's the way to prove that. And you know, again, social media counts for nothing.
Yeah, people said to me, because that Sunday, I was actually talking to my best friend yesterday about it. And that Sunday, I was actually at home and people were like, yeah, she must come out. We want her. I was like,
I love the way they're all such heroes.
Yeah, where is she? Yeah. Where is she?
We're going to kill her.
Yeah, right. And I was actually in the bedroom, like languishing with my boyfriend, and we got up at 2 in the afternoon.
You were enjoying your
day. I was
day.
Live.
These people are all militant in the streets. Supposedly.
I switch on my Tata, and I'm like, yay! My friend calls me, says, "Listen, just have a glass of wine before you go onto Twitter," and all day that day, people said to me, why didn't you say anything? But I knew.
Okay, how many of those people who were bitching and moaning do you think actually bought and read the book?
Gosh, not that many. Yeah. If any, actually.
And how many of them are still really furious about the book?
I mean, every now and again, I get the blue eyes thing from somebody, and then I'm just like,
what was that?
Blah.
That was the line where you said you'd rather hire someone with blue eyes than a brother.
Let me ask you both a question, and I'll begin with you, Lerato, because both of you have had to deal with being dragged
on
social media.
We're about to be dragged by my body.
I mean, if you could devise a guide of how to deal with that kind of, it's bullying essentially on social media. I mean, if you could devise like just a simple point by point plan of what the best way to deal with that kind of thing is?
Well, for me, it's not to participate. One of the things I knew for sure was that I was going to do interviews. And so everybody else who'd had their 5 minutes of fame and got 100 retweets, you are still going to have to listen to me because I was going to have to be on the radio. I'm going to be on the news. So I understood that I have a platform. Social media for me is not that platform. It's not where I go to put a point across.
Yeah.
And so I just never bothered. I never bothered. Even with the people that I knew. I mean, actually, most of the hate came from industry people who I think actually disliked me. The book just gave them a reason.
Gave them an excuse.
They're like, oh, finally, now we can say what a
she thinks
bitch
she's
is.
Better than
yeah,
us.
Exactly.
Now we can prove that she's evil.
Exactly. So I just don't participate. I'm really clear that I know I will have another chance to write a column. I will. Mm. Also, because I had a career that spans almost 20 years, I've seen them come and go and scream, and eventually there's somebody else who's going to be a little bit more interesting.
And then they move on. You know, people also, they've got their thing, and this is why I don't understand these many outrages we keep having in South Africa about some idiot white person who's complaining about the dirty beaches and all the blacks, and it's so ridiculous. It's the most childish stuff, and we always react to it.
Mm.
We always get up to, what do we really want that person who's so ignorant to do? Do we want them to change their mind? Do we care about them enough to want them to change their minds? Because I don't care what they think.
Mm.
I think they should have the right to be stupid.
Mm.
Everybody has the right to be a complete ignoramus, right?
Mm.
And we get the right to judge them in turn.
Indeed.
Or do we want them to love us? Because if we want them to love us, we're looking for love in all the wrong places.
Yeah.
I don't want that person's approval.
I mean, somebody said that the problem with the way us as black people feel about apartheid is that we want people who don't believe that they owe us an apology to give us an apology. Mm. And that's the worst kind of thing, because you are never, ever going to get it. So that person, the penny sparrows and whoever, they are never going to look at a black person and see an equal. And I'm never going to look at them and see somebody who's an equal too, because I think they're stupid.
Yeah.
So actually, we're meeting on the same level. You think being black means I'm not equal, and I think being stupid means you're not my equal. Okay, bye.
And I'm on your side, and I'm white. Can you imagine how confusing it is for me? But seriously, that's the one thing that you are allowed to despise in someone is willful ignorance.
Yeah.
Like the moment someone decides that they are going to, despite all the evidence that proves that that's a dumb idea, hold on to the dumb idea. To me, that's something you're allowed to hate them for.
Yeah, and I think...
Because they're choosing to be ignorant.
So what I did when the thing broke last year of Penny Sparrow, earlier this year, gosh, it felt like that long ago, yeah. Penny Sparrow, I actually thought... I was angry, and I went on Twitter, and I was like, oh my gosh, I can't believe it. Somebody, like some of my followers replied and said... But do you think you're a monkey? And I was like, no. So they were like, why does this affect you?
Yeah.
You know, it's like women who listen to hip hop. Well, and I happen to be one of them.
Mm.
And they say, oh, when he's saying a bitch, he's not talking about me, so I can enjoy the song.
Right.
You know, it was exactly the same. And I thought, oh, actually, there's like a level of truth in that.
But there's a lot of that going around. And I think it might even be a generational thing that everything is about me.
Mm.
Now, I've never felt that way. When I hear a song, I don't put myself in the lyrics every time. Sometimes you do.
Mm.
Sometimes you think, I heard a song. I've got to play this for you. Mavs, will you remind me tomorrow to play you this song that I heard yesterday? I had to listen to it 4 times. It gave me the chills.
Who is this?
I might even have to play it just now that I brought it up.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's funny how you put yourself in the center of every situation. People are so self-absorbed, right, that we... And we can't help it. It's part of the world we live in. The social media world, Instagram world, selfie world, instant gratification world.
Mm.
We're constantly chasing dopamine hits, you know?
Mm.
We're in love with being loved.
Yeah.
And it drives me crazy that we can't take a step away from that. Look at it objectively and go, I'm being lured into this stuff and I don't need this in my life. I don't need everyone else's approval. I don't need everyone's likes on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram.
No.
I don't care if some idiot somewhere doesn't like me because of the color of my skin or because of my hair or because I'm tall or because I'm short or because I'm fat or because I'm thin or I don't speak the way they want me to speak or I don't have as many cattle as this one or I don't have as much cash in the account as this one. Why are we being lured into other people's matrix of evaluation.
Why does that happen?
I think one of the reasons that happens is because social media has created this thing of everybody's life is better than mine. Do you know what I mean? Like right now, people are on holiday and everybody who's at work is like...
Drives me mad. Looking at these pictures. Does it make you want to cry when you look at these pictures?
Yeah, exactly. And you're like, vacation. Hashtag vacation. Hashtag squad goals. Hashtag relationship goals. And so everything is about what is unattainable, what you don't have right now. And I think there's nothing that robs you of your joy than to always be looking to the future or to other people. I just think do what works for you. You know, one of my bosses said to me, there are some people you don't want to like you. There are people where if they like you, there is a problem. Why do you like me? And that made me think, oh shit, that's actually true.
Yeah, that's a good point.
You know, that's a very good point. There are people who are lazy, who are stupid, and if they like you, what does that mean? Is that a kindred spirit? Does it mean you and I have something in common? Because we don't. And I learned really quickly that the people who like my book, and I've received nothing but positive feedback, will love the book, and the people who don't will not get it, and it's okay. Yeah. It's okay. Yeah. You don't have to like me. Not everybody has to like me. But I'm quite all right with that. I've always been on the outside. I've always thought differently.
I've read so many of your columns. I mean, you're always getting into trouble because you do have a lot of opinions about things. And that's part of being a provocative, talented writer, is that you're not just writing copy. You're not delivering drivel that anyone can pour out. Otherwise, why would anyone pay you for your words? You get paid per word. Those idiots on Twitter don't get paid a single cent for every word they put on Twitter. During your career, what other stuff has caused for you a lot of consternation or even maybe personal reflection that was sometimes uncomfortable?
I wrote a column. So the result of the book is a result of a column I had called Urban Myths in the Sunday Times. And I wrote about how every girl needs to have a gay friend. Okay. Because what I was trying to get across was that actually gay guys are still hardwired like men. So whereas as women, you know, I'll look at my body and maybe I don't like her hair, but I don't know how to tell her, so I just don't tell her. Mm. Whereas a gay guy will just be like, girl, please, get your life together.
Put yourself together.
What are you doing? And that you kind of need that honesty as a woman. So that is where it came from. And I also wanted to show that not every person who's gay is a screaming queen, as it were. Yeah. That actually you can like other men without it having to be this incredibly
over the top.
Oh my God, yeah. Type thing.
Yeah, you, like walking around in drag.
Exactly.
Stuff.
Got me into trouble.
One of my friends,
you know, Loretta, I didn't think you thought of me as gay.
Uh-oh.
And I'm like, how? But this is the same guy at dinner parties who disses me for being single and says, tell them, Loretta, she's still single. Single. And I thought, but it's an immutable fact. I'm single, you're gay. What's the problem?
Yeah.
But I learned really quickly that sometimes people actually want to be in these closeted spaces, that they don't want people to know that somehow when you tell it the truth, no matter how pure or a place it comes from, people will still see it in another way. So that got me into trouble. I mean, I had all kinds of gay friends call me, what did you mean? Some were okay with it, others were not. And I thought, you know, and also because it's not my experience, I felt, you know, even in the book this time, I didn't touch on it as much because I thought I'd rather talk about universal themes than actually drill down on things that I don't have a deep understanding of. So that got me into trouble, unfortunately.
Do you think it is harder to have opinions and be a woman? And there are so many words that get thrown at you if you're a woman with opinions. Mm. Like if you're a man with opinions, people go, oh, he's so confident. He's so strong.
Yeah.
He's got an interesting take on life. The minute you're a woman, though, and you have those opinions and those... Oh, she's such a bitch.
She's such a bitch. She's PMSing. She doesn't have a guy giving it to her. If somebody was giving it to her,
that is so insulting.
Yeah. You know, when she interviewed me, she said, I'm sure people were wondering, who is the guy that let her speak? And why isn't he telling her to keep quiet? And you know, that hit me like a brick because it made me think, whoa. Having an opinion when you're a woman is literally a dangerous thing. Mm. It's something that people think, why would you want to do that? Who raised you? You know, a lot of people said to me, did they go wrong? Did your mother read the sex chapter? No, Mabale, in a month, I'm going to be 37. Okay.
You look great.
Thank you. Thank you.
Look 32.
I'm grown. I am so grown. When my mother was my age, she had 3 children. So there is no way that I cannot have opinions about sex. What's going on? Like, which world am I living in? And so somebody asked, they said to my mother, what did you think? You know, she wrote those things. My mom was like, she's grown. She's grown. She's allowed to have opinions. And where you grow up and the people who raise you influence you. And my parents taught me to be a thinker, to be a hard worker, to be respectful, but to always know that my opinion matters and that I need to be an individual and think on my own. So it's funny. It has not caused any issues in my home. In fact, my mother texted me and said, I'm a nut job.
I like the sound of this mom of yours.
She's fabulous.
Do you think that for a lot of black people who grew up in traditional households and traditional families that have a lot of kind of cultural tradition wrapped up in there, that they almost feel they have to play both sides? That there's a because you do cover some of this in your book too. Mm. There's this idea that, you know, respect is owed to the older people, to the community, to the culture, to the language, to the traditions, even if there's a disagreement with the traditions.
Yeah, you're drinking your wine in your cup so that your mother doesn't know that you drink wine. But right. 2 hours later, you're sozzled and you think she doesn't know.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're going to the back. So I drink wine. Me and my siblings, we drink in front of our parents, you know, my late dad as well. So we didn't have the thing where we were lying so that they think we're still good. My mother was like, I'd rather you guys do everything in front of me than lie to me.
Yeah.
You know, which immediately makes honesty is then out there. There's no, you can't lie to your parents. I think that sometimes we say, oh, it's the culture, we're being respectful, but we're doing all these things on the low that are nasty, you know, where your parents would be like, yo, my child, why though?
I'm so shocked.
You know, it's like, I mean, it happened when I was a teenager. Even now, parents who lock their kids in and then suddenly she's pregnant and they don't know how it happened because Uthembi is always at home. Yeah, but Uthembi washes the dishes and goes to church. You know,
it probably happened at church.
Exactly. So a lot of the times that happens, but I think also, Gareth, we're trying to hold on to something as black people. Mm. I think things are changing so fast that we want to hold on to something. We may be confused by it, which I say in the book, the traditions, it's all mixed up. The parents don't know, we don't know, but we try. We're like, it's the remix, baby.
And you can, but why the hell not? You can cherry pick what you want, and you can leave behind what you don't.
Yeah,
that's actually probably the most healthy thing of all, right?
Yeah,
because who really knows what Patekile Holomisa knows for everybody? No.
Yeah, and I think that it's okay. One of the things I talk about is that Amadlozi ancestors don't have to be mutually exclusive to religion if that's what you believe in. That you can believe.
You can have both, right?
You can have both. But we live in this world that says you must be one or the other. Yeah. You're either woke or you're unwoke.
Pick one and make sure you pick the right one.
Exactly.
That we approve of,
you know. And I have to say
again,
this.
Again, other people's rules.
Exactly. But I have to say this, that I want to make a real difference. A lot of people are hashtagging the revolution, all right? Yeah. But ain't nothing happening. You're not doing anything. I decided that I was going to sacrifice my house, my upward mobility, and all of that, so I could tell the truth and try and shift somebody's mind. I've had people, white people, who have texted me and sent me messages on Twitter saying, I didn't realize that when I was grinning that it came across like that to you.
Yeah.
Now, that is changing somebody. That is somebody who's now going to be cognitive of their actions when they're now dealing with somebody who's black. That's change. That's not a hashtag. That's a real thing that I've done. And that's what I want to do.
I found that was probably the most exciting thing about your book to me. It's like there were things that are subliminal that we don't even realize we're doing to each other that can be extremely patronizing, that can be very damaging to real relationships, that can get in the way of how we show or don't show an interest and a genuine care for each other.
Mm.
And it drives me crazy that so much has been going on that we don't address. Your book addresses some of these things. Like you say, you know, white people don't realize when they're doing this that this is how it makes black people feel. Yeah. Or black people don't realize when they say this that what they really mean is that.
Yeah.
Like we're constantly trying to figure each other out, but no one's really getting to the heart of it.
No,
because it's too uncomfortable.
Yeah, it's too uncomfortable. People don't want to talk about it. I mean, a new friend of mine, Howard Feldman, who's Jewish, said that he was offended by the fact that I said that you shouldn't mention that your friend is black. And he said the only reason he was because he was doing it. So he wasn't saying Lerato or Mabala. He was saying my black friend.
Mm.
And then what I made him do was go. So he was offended because he was doing it.
Yeah.
Remember? So I think it was the same thing with the service providers. If you are late and if you're already, those things are going to hit you harder than anybody else. But if you are, if you're not doing that, it doesn't mean anything
well,
to you.
Well, isn't it true that when you're offended by something, it's because it struck a chord?
Yes. Yeah, all the time.
You don't get a. If I say the most terrible thing about your mother right now, that she's this and she's that and skeveresh and all the rest, you're not going to get upset because you know your mother isn't any of those
exactly.
things. And who the hell am I? I don't even know her.
Yeah.
But if there's some truth in something, if I say something that like, gets to why you are unhappy in a relationship, for example, or I mention something about your financial situation that's painful to you, that's when you get offended. That's when people. Like react, their hackles come up and they fight back.
All the time. I mean, one of the things that happened to me when I was a child, and I think I write this in the book, not a child, like a teenager, a woman called me fat, and I got I went home. In fact, me and my mother had, for the first time, a conversation about this 3 weeks ago, and she tried to tell me why she reacted that way, because she had had weight issues. So somebody called me fat, somebody I didn't know. And I came home and I was like, she called me fat. And my mom lashed out. Why? Do you know her? Does she know you? It doesn't matter. And she wasn't, you know, she didn't mollycoddle me. She didn't say, oh, shame, my child. And I realized that thing hurt me because I already thought I was fat. So all that woman did was reiterate something I was already feeling about myself. And when my mother reacted that way was because she had had weight issues as a kid and she didn't want me to see myself in that way. So she lashed out and I cried. And all of it is because it came from a place of, oh, I think somehow I sort of agree with her. I do think I should lose weight. And it's like that for all of us. It all comes from that place of there's a little bit of truth and that is uncomfortable. Nobody wants to face the truth. And my book is like, and what I said to somebody else, I'm also honest about myself. I'm also honest about my screw-ups in the book. A lot.
Yeah. No, you lay it all out there. I mean, it's you know, very few people who are as honest as that. How did you get to that point? How did you decide, well, this is how I got to be. I got to let it all hang out.
So this is a bad idea that I'm talking about this because I'm going to be a news story. But okay, whatever. So one of the reasons why I left my job, because you know you guys saw the True Lovers in the papers, was in the was trending yesterday. One of the reasons I left was because I was sort of asked to, I was told that the magazine was too smart when I was editing it, that I was edited, that the content was meant for me and my friends. I was told that my readers did not drive BMWs, that we needed to take out their very expensive cars and put in the cars that are 150, you know, the Tata Indicas and all that.
So it was too aspirational.
Aspirational. Mm. That, you know, why are they going to Dubai? Why do you have Dubai here? People are going to Durban.
In other words, you're aiming too high. People are a lot simpler and stupider than you think.
Yeah.
And, like, dumb it down.
Dumb it down a little bit. So I had a choice, right? I had a choice to either do it because I want the money. You have to remember that people have bills to pay.
Yeah.
You can't always be sanctimonious like me and say, I quit.
Right now, there could be 1,000 people listening to us who are doing jobs that they hate, but they need the cash.
Exactly.
Sure.
And so I left. And what I wanted to do was to tell the truth of what it is like in publishing, you know, and I had to go into it. I had to go into the fact that True Love doesn't have a black general manager, a black publisher. There's nobody who understands the market who is at the top. The editor is probably the last.
Who owns that magazine?
Media 24.
Oh, right.
So you cannot be respectful about a people you don't understand.
Mm.
You cannot. Mm. And so in order for the content to be reflective of its market, the people who are in charge of it have to look like the people. They have to understand. Yeah. They have to come from those communities. They have to know the balance that us as black people have to consistently strike.
Or your target market have to choose you. In
exactly.
Which case, yeah.
So, right. So when that didn't happen, I thought, well, somebody else will do this. That's not what I was hired to do. And sure. So I'm leaving. And I wanted to tell the truth. And I thought, I am going to basically, I'm going to be like Barack Obama when I was leaving, drop the papers on the mic, and I'm just going to tell the truth, and if it sinks me, then so be it.
Wow. And did it have some negative repercussions?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it had in the sense that I don't think I'll be allowed into that building anymore. But let me say this. I must say this in order
to
be
fair. Do they just write you off now and say, oh,
she was bitter.
She was just a bitter.
And I've tried not to talk about it. This is the first time I'm actually talking about it ever. Mm. I mean, and to Esmeray Vedelman, who's the CEO of Media Technifor's credit, when she heard that I had left, those two people who had sat down in the room with me and told me that, they were sort of encouraged to sort of seek greener pastures, as it were, and they were no longer there. But I think that the best thing we can ever do in this country is to have people, black people, start to influence, whether it's an ad, whether it's a show, whether people start to influence the very media that we consume. So we need to be in those positions.
Or we do what we're all doing here, what you're doing on your show here. You start your own medium.
Exactly.
You start your own new thing. Yeah. We don't need to take over the carcasses of old, dead. And publications are mostly dying left, right, and center.
Unfortunately. Huh? And that's why they're trying to sell papers and magazines right now. So, yes, there was a lot of negative stuff. There's also a lot of good stuff. I mean, I now work with Gareth and Touch, things that people who actually had huge audiences, the people I'm now meeting, people that I never thought I would meet, people who are smart, who are the people I have on my phone right now, Gareth, I can't believe it, and I would have never gotten there if I hadn't told the
truth. You don't ever feel like you have to dumb it down or vamp it up. It's just you can be you.
This is me, though. I don't know how to do anything else, Gareth. I'm not me because I'm black or me because I'm well-educated. I keep telling people, I come from a three-roomed house in Meadowlands. It's so weird. My mother did not finish high school.
Yeah, that's like royalty, please. Anyone from Meadowlands has got like, you walk around and tell people you're from Meadowlands, the whole world goes, oh.
You know, so it's I'm just me. There is nothing to explain to you. No. You can't say to me, oh, because she's had private school education, she's like this. This is just who I am. There's nothing I can do about it. This is how I was made. And to be in the presence of great people and be part of this alumni of people who just thought, you know what, screw this, actually. We're going to try and do our own thing. That's bravery. And if I'm a part of that,
You were so enthusiastic. I remember when we sat down with you for the first time, and you know, we were thinking of putting a show together, and you were gung ho. You were like, "Sure, I'm in. Do whatever. Boom, no problem. When do I start?"
Because
there was no.
I don't know.
Have a few days to think about it. None of that stuff.
No, because when you see something, so my job is to do trends. You know, as a magazine editor, what you do is that you predict. And when I heard you and Touch were doing this, I could feel it within me that this was something amazing. Do you know what I mean? Mm. And when something is great, and I've never been part of a movement, you know, it's too late for the Amandla movement. Mm. To be part of something now is amazing. And
we talk about trends for a second? Because people are, you know, Mubs had some numerologist on the show the other day with her and Dumi Murake, and then they had an astrologer time before. So everybody's trying to predict what 2017 will be like. Where do you see things going? Watching the trends, and I'm, you know, again, as a journalist, as a scientist almost, someone who collects empirical information about this, what do you think the future is going to be like? What do you think people are going to be doing? What do you think we're going to be interested in? Where's it all headed?
Well, I think we've had an incredible run of stupidity in the last decade. Seriously, it's been spectacular.
Holy mackerel!
And my mom called me, she's like, yo, Lerato, the idiots have taken over.
Yeah, it does feel like the lunatics are in charge of the asylum.
Yeah, right. I mean, you look at the leader of the free world now, Donald Trump, and you just think, yo, basically, who would see Paul, who's from America with money? And so I think that the world has tried to convince people that that this groupthink mentality is what we should be doing. But I'm finding more and more that more people who are pathfinders like us, we're all trying to find each other. We're all trying to say, actually, this is not how it should be. And I think next year there's going to be more and more people who are waking up to the fact that there's more people like us. The world, Gareth, tries to convince us that you and I don't have a lot in common because you're a man and you're white and I'm black and I'm a woman. But actually, we have more in common than other
you
people.
You and I do with Donald Trump.
Exactly. Or Penny Sparrow or any of the other ignorant people. And I think over the next year or so, we're going to find that more and more people are going to try and find each other, because we need to counter the spectacular run of this of stupidity. And I think I predict that more and more people who are pathfinders, who are thinkers, who are risk takers, are going to find each other, and we are slowly, slowly going to make headway.
But then where's that going to leave the group thinkers? Because people feel safe in numbers. Where's that going to leave them?
But that's the thing. But that's the thing, Mambal, is that the more of us find each other, the bigger group that people always want to be where the cool people are. So if being a risk taker and a pathfinder is going to be the thing, you're going to see people are going to abandon that side for this side. People are sweet. It's just that luckily this side is more sort of smarter in thinking. But
yeah, but aren't you worried that you sound intellectually arrogant? Aren't you worried that you?
I've been told.
Aren't you worried that you'd be thought of as a snob, that people go, oh, you know, that's the problem with that Lerato, she's so arrogant? Not because you care about their opinion, but because maybe that's true, and maybe you need to do a bit of self-reflection. I mean, that's something that bothers me often, is people will say to me, oh, you know, you're really arrogant. I mean, we love your opinions, but you shouldn't be so arrogant.
Yeah, I mean, people said to me, yo, that Lerato swears at us in that book. I didn't say fuck you. Sorry for the language. I didn't say that. You know what I mean? And I, like I said, I'm a... she swore at us. You know, and the thing is, I don't... Like I said, I'm from the hip-hop generation. And people listen to hip-hop, you get in the clubs, you know. It's always trap, trap, trap. Until you, in a book, use the same words, and then suddenly, you're swearing at people. I do sometimes, not that much, think about it. But the reason why I don't entertain it, Gareth, is because I have worked so hard to get here. If it would be disingenuous of me, Toni Morrison said that if there's a book that you want written, that you haven't read, you have to write it yourself. So that's where the way I see it came from. I hadn't read anything like it, anything that was cultural now. So I had to write it myself. So that's the first part. And then she said, Maya Angelou, I use a lot of black women. Maya Angelou said that modesty is for liars. She said that modesty is a learned affectation. Hmm. That person who is modest, when their back is against the wall, they'll be like, yay, look at me. I got this, I got this. And so what she was saying was that if you worked hard to be smart, you
don't apologize.
Don't apologize for the. It's like when you dress well and people say you look good and you're like, oh, this is from
this little thing.
But you thought about it. You're lying. You wanted to look good. So say thank you. Be gracious. And so my thing is not whether I should make people feel comfortable by trying not to be smart. I don't think of myself as anything else. This is who I am. I've spent so much time, my 20s, apologizing for who I am. I don't give a shit. This is who I am.
Beautiful.
This is who I am. And if it comes across as arrogant, my goodness, if a child of a teenage mother can be arrogant and have a sense of confidence, then give me more of that. Give me more of that. I'd rather that than people. I don't like anybody. I always say, if I'm the smartest person in the room, there's a problem. In the group, there's an issue. And so there are other people who are smarter than me, and I want to be around those people. I don't want people to be comfortable. I want people to be themselves.
can we talk about men for a second?
Oh, gosh. We were so close. I was like, oh, damn.
No. I don't mean your personal. We can do your personal relations. But I wanted to ask you this because I think you'll be honest with me.
Yeah.
Are men just total douchebags? Especially South African men. Do we not know how to handle women? Are we monsters? Because a lot of the time I read stuff about how men behave. You read about some of the horrible things that men do in this country. You think about the kinds of stuff that that we're saying to each other, that we're saying to women. How do you think we're doing?
You know, there's this...
Seems we're evolving slower than women. I wanted your opinion on that.
Isn't that the truth, that biologically anyway, that's what happens? But
it's just the way Mother Nature designed
exactly.
it.
Talk to me about this. I'm not going to get upset.
Somebody said... There's this thing that they say that what you focus on expands. So anything that you look at will grow bigger and bigger and bigger. So if you start the day off and you're having a bad day, and the traffic light is not going to work, something else, your heel is going to fall off, whatever. So I think if your view is that South African men are not great, that is all you're going to see. That's all you're going to see. And I have been very lucky. I was raised by great men. I'm dating an incredible guy, and that's because that's what I choose to see. Obviously, if you want a blesser doesn't care that your peer missing and that he must bring your ice cream. No, you must get yourself together because he's paying for you. So he can be your douche because that is the transaction that you have made. You're going to put out and he's going to give you money. So you can't call him a douche when that's what you're communicating. I feel like...
That's what you signed up for.
Yeah, that's what you signed up for. I feel that, yes, there is an incredible amount of men who are black, white, whatever, South African men in general, who just have no respect for women. I mean, you see that the fact that...
they've never had to.
Yeah.
So why would they suddenly?
Exactly.
Like, why would they wake up tomorrow and decide, I need to respect them?
Yeah. About Ms. Fazane, as they say in Zulu. You know, even that is like, you know, I mean, you don't matter.
Substandard humans.
Exactly.
Like, why must I bother with
you? You know, I mean, we were talking, it was my boyfriend who was actually saying that America would rather vote for the racist douchebag than the woman. Because she's going to PMS and cause a war. But most wars have been caused by men.
You don't think it was the fact that she was crooked as all hell?
No, I think that America just could not.
They couldn't countenance a woman.
No.
Easier for them to vote for a black man than a woman.
Yeah.
That's quite an indictment.
It's a sobering. Sobering thought. It's like you think to yourself, like, whoa.
And women didn't vote for Hillary.
Yeah.
Which is also interesting.
Yeah. But I mean, that's one of the things I say in the book that, you know, women, we dislike each other. That's why isn't it terrible? That's why, like, one of the things I love about the family here, you look beautiful, you look great, we're constantly doing that. But on the outside,
affirmation,
we don't do that. Like, women, we're constantly pulling each other down. So it's the same thing. It's the same thing with how we see our men. If you choose to see great things in guys, you'll see that. But like I say, there are also immutable facts. Like, there is violence against women and children. There is rape.
Yeah.
Those are things we can't even try to be jokey about.
No.
And we do have to address them, but we address them by being brave as women.
Actually, more importantly, I mean, I also don't know, like, how do you men feel about yourselves?
I just told you, a lot of guys are douchey. This is part of the reason that I don't like to group myself.
Yeah.
You know, I'm not a group thinker at all.
Yeah.
Like, when I do something, I don't go, I'm doing this on behalf of men or on behalf of white people, or because I don't really have a tribe.
Yeah.
You understand? This is part of my, a lot of people want to belong. I want to dissociate actively. I want to be individual. And I don't take responsibility for every other man's behavior because I find most men's behavior reprehensible.
Mm.
And I do think that a lot of stuff that I've said and done in my life has been subliminally sexist.
Mm.
And I do think a lot of the stuff that I've done in my life and said in my life has been subliminally racist. I think that's just where you come from.
Mm.
You're always bound to do what your people have handed you genetically.
Yeah, and you have Afrikaans heritage, which you've been very open about.
Yeah. And I would like to eliminate as much of that primitive stuff from me as possible.
Because
I think it's bad for all of us. But being a man means that you're occasionally going to say, grab her by the pussy if you're Donald Trump because you're talking to a friend of yours. It might very well indicate that you just genuinely don't have a respect for women at some base level. But it might also just be guy talk. And there's a lot that guys do that they don't want you to know about as women, because they'd be embarrassed if you found out in terms of the way they talk about women, titties, dresses, that one has nice legs, and oh, she has beautiful lips, but they don't mean it in a complimentary way. They're like, ugh, you know, she turns me on.
Yeah.
I think we've got a lot of work to do.
Yeah.
There's a lot still to be done.
Yeah, I mean, just last week, like, O'Neill was asking me.
Careful, him. He is just such a player, that man.
Yeah, and he was saying to me, he was like, yeah, you know, why do women drive around with their windows down when they know that it's dangerous, you know?
Oh, careful
now. And I was like,
get into that same place that, like, if a woman wears a short dress.
That's exactly what I said. You know.
That I hate.
You are now, we're entering very murky territory here.
Because the man has no agency then.
Yeah.
It's like that Saudi idea that women must cover up in case the guy gets horny. What a stupid rule.
I said, you must be very careful of coming across as sexist because you do now. Because I use the same example. Mm. And I said to him, in South Africa, whether you're a man or a woman, you have your windows down, you have your shit laying bare, somebody is going to try and jack your shit. It doesn't matter whether you're a woman or a man.
Yeah.
And so I said to him, he needs to be very careful. Because, you see, when people say, yeah, I called them a kafir, but, you know, I was so upset, or a faggot. Our language denotes our thinking.
Yeah.
You would never say something you're already not thinking. So that's what you need to zap. The thought that a woman is different, that she must be treated differently, that the rules don't apply to her, that's worrying to me. That worries me.
Damn right. Preaching this morning. Huh? Listen to you. All right. This man that you're with must be an incredible guy.
Yeah.
And you keep talking about this boyfriend. First of all,
so terrible. I've become one of those girls. It's bad.
Not at all.
I'm single for like 10 years. And then.
Please. I don't judge. I've only known you since you've been in this relationship. So I don't know the previous cold, bitter, angry, single.
You can read about it in the way I see it. It's available.
No, I've read it. I'm kidding. Yeah. So here's the thing.
Yeah.
This guy must be quite something. He must be first of all, successful guy in his own right.
Yeah.
Because you wouldn't respect him otherwise.
No.
You wouldn't schlep some guy along.
And the thing is, I have a wonderful roster of losers that I've dated. It's been great.
You are so refreshingly open about this.
Yeah.
We've all dated losers.
We have. We've all made terrible choices.
Yeah.
Mabali a lot.
No.
He's so broke, Mabali. He's so broke. He says, please call I love you at night. I've been that girl. Fetch me by the BP. Yeah.
Oh,
I've been that
girl.
No, it's been rough.
This guy, though, is different.
Yeah.
Successful in his own right. Good looking.
Yes. And tall, which is nice.
I noticed that you and Pashita put together the sex feature on a Friday, which gets everybody very steamy.
Yes.
Uh-huh. Very open and honest there as well.
Puts Pashita? Hands in pockets and whistles to the ceiling.
Freaky Friday.
But do you think that having a healthy, happy relationship improves you in every way? Or do you think it makes no difference, it's just an add-on?
I think it's an add-on.
Really?
I think it's an add-on.
It's a big thing to say, because a lot of people would go, oh, no, it's changed everything. It's made me better in every way.
I mean,
they do say that. You know what I mean.
I'm going to sound so arrogant.
Go on.
You know, a sister was doing well before he came along. Can I just tell the truth right now?
But I mean, isn't part of the initial problem when people look to somebody else to
complete
them?
Yeah, they want the Tom Cruise, Renee Zellweger moment. No. You
want the add-on.
It's a miss. I want, like, you know, it dessert is not something you need to have when you're out.
Yeah.
You can have your glass of wine and your meal and be out in your mirror. Eat dessert is the nice to have.
Mm.
It's the... Yeah, let's end this on a good note. And a relationship should be like that. A relationship is like...
Like the cherry on
like
top.
Like the cherry on top. You know
what
I mean?
I didn't need to have it. But it made the whole thing look a whole lot better. It tastes a whole lot better.
I'm saying to you right now, Gavin.
All right.
Yes.
Now, Stephen says, we South African men aren't really douchebags. We're giving these women what they want. I used to be a very chivalrous, considerate gentleman. My attitude was changed by the women I've been with. They say they want a certain trait, but they have a change of heart as soon as they receive it. This sounds like a guy who's been spurned.
Ish, yeah. Shame, what's his name? Stephen.
Stephen.
Yeah. Oh, Stephen, you know.
Be the agony aunt for
ish, us. Stephen, here's some advice. Stephen, here's some advice for you. You want a nice girl? Start dating nice girls. Okay?
Ta-da.
And don't stop and change yourself just because you met some women who don't appreciate you. You are worthy of love and continue to be chivalrous. You will find the love of your life, Stephen.
Peace and love. Peace and love.
All right. Belinda says, tell Lerato she's doing so well for this interview. I can't believe she was ever scared. Were you scared?
I was because it's you.
No.
You know what? So my sister, before I started, Gareth left a my sister's gonna hit. Sorry, G. Gareth left a voice note on my phone. And this is Gareth Clay, number 6, like most talked about people in training. Indeed.
For all the wrong reasons. So, you were number 5. You were number 5, weren't you?
Yeah. And as I played the message back to her, and she was like, oh my gosh, it's really him, it's his voice. And I said to my best friend Joe, I said, Gareth has no bad music. There's nothing to distract you. Mm. So if I can't think fast enough, if I'm not, you know, lucid and quick, he's gonna know. And
is that what made you nervous?
Yeah, and I like him so much as a person because, like me, he's always been on the outside. But I was on the outside even as a teenager. So I've never I find it funny now that people want to exclude me. I'm like, but I was never part of the crew. Y'all never wanted. So now I'm supposed to feel bad about something that you never wanted me to be a part of. Are you kidding me? Miss me with it. So, but I digress. Yeah. So I wanted Gareth to like me so much because we're like-minded. You know, on everything is a lot like my book because you touch on everything. And you want people, remember what I said, there's some people that you don't want to like you and there's some people you want to like you. And I wanted to come out of here and feel like, oh, maybe, you know, he could invite me to his house or something.
you know,
not like that. I mean, like for a drink.
Like I genuinely, when I sit down and talk to someone, I just want to give the audience some of that person.
Yeah.
I want them to really feel afterwards, whether it's someone that they had misconceptions about before or whether it's someone that they liked before, that they can reinforce the good.
Mm.
That's all. You want someone to let themselves shine. That's the whole thing.
So you ask them a couple. Really well,
you ask a couple of questions. Look, let's not get into me here because we'll be here all year and it's almost finished. What do you do for the holidays? Where are you
going to
be?
I am going to be on my couch eating and watching television. I am doing nothing. I'll probably I'm thinking of going away in March next year, maybe like Cuba or something, like sort of culturally
that's
rich.
That's exciting.
You know, but I'm doing absolutely nothing. I don't like to travel when everybody travels. So seriously,
it's stressful.
She also wants to dissociate actively from society. She really is an individual.
Yeah,
you can see why we get along.
Exactly. So doing absolutely nothing.
So you're not going to go and fill the beaches and make all those penny sparrows really angry?
Oh, no.
You're going to take your 400 family.
I think there's enough of my people fighting the good fight. Exactly.
Wow.
So well, I'm just going to relax. And Sunday is Christmas, cooking with my mother and my sister, the most important people in my life, sitting with my brother, who's like 23 and amazing. So that's what
life is
about.
You got a 23-year-old brother?
I do, and a 30-year-old sister.
They must be so proud of you, right?
I'm so lucky.
When you go home, is it like the mafia? You sit there, they have to kiss your ring. They're like, Lerato's here. You almost like you give them a 10 rand note every time you shake your hand.
They certainly think that my life is interesting. My brother always goes, oh, it's Lerato. You set the bar so high. I'm like, guys.
First of all, I'm sure he doesn't sound like that.
No, he doesn't. He sounds much better.
You set the bar so high. Sounds like a character from one of those old radio soaps.
Beavis and Butthead, but I'm black. Yeah. No, they're my family. And I'm a nerd too. So this is really. I have a great family.
Are you a nerd?
I feel like I am. I mean, like my humor's a little like.
I think some people who don't like you are just scared of you. That's what
I think.
Yeah, I've watched people
or
around
envious.
You. They might, but that's where it comes from. Mm. It's the same place, you know. Envy and fear. It all comes from that dark part of humanity where we we're afraid of the dark and we're scared to say something that's going to get us into trouble. We don't want to be thrown out of the tribe. We don't want to go extinct. We don't want the lights to go off. Oh, the monsters, the creatures, they're all coming to eat us. It's this sad reptilian part of our brain that makes us afraid and envious and all of that stuff. And those people who have a problem with that amazing book that you've written, those people, I think, are they're struggling with who they are more than anything to do with you. And they just projected at you because you're allowing yourself to be a target. You're brave enough.
I've put myself out there.
Hell yeah. You put yourself on the cover. And by the way, spectacularly good-looking book, too. Some cover designs are not great. This is a good one.
Thank you, Victor.
How long did it take you to get into that that whole outfit? Because it's beautiful. What are you, Zulu?
Ooh, I'm Chabalala, Zulu. Right? Yeah, I'm Zulu. Gareth, I had been out with two of my friends, Mahlatsi and Dumelo, at their house. And
no dark rings under your eyes.
I had them removed. I did. I was like, remove the bags. And I had a hard night of tequila. And I woke up the next day and shot this.
You hit tequila
cover.
As well?
Yeah. It was big night. It was a very big night.
I'm around this week. We should do a drink or something.
Yeah, please. That would be fun.
I never say that to ask my buddy. I try to get people out of here as quickly as possible.
Oh, so that's. I feel so special.
Lerato Shabalala's book is on the shelves still. It's a bestseller all across the country. The way I see it, you must get this book if you haven't already. Stocking stuffer for Christmas. Give it to your relatives. Give it to your friends. Give it to your enemies.
Yes.
Give it to everyone you know.
They'll love you for it. And I'm also on Touch Central from 11 until 1. My show is called The Best of Both Worlds. Belinda listens to me. And thank you to everybody in Tembi who supports the show.
Spaces. Can I taste your juice?
Do you have any idea what that means?
That's what Spe says, and he usually reserves that for my Bali.
Can I taste your juice?
Gensani says, hey guys, Lerato, you killed it. Gareth is the best host. Did you get a glass of water for the nerves? We didn't even offer you anything to drink.
No, but I brought my own water.
Please, this is her home. She doesn't need to ask for water. No. What are you kidding? Lots and lots of messages just saying people love you. They love the fact that you're so honest. Beautiful interview from Garabilwe and Kabelo and Matumi and lots of people who just love you.
Oh, that's really lovely. Thanks, everybody.
Yeah, well, listen, it's been a pleasure hanging out with you this morning, and we will catch you at 11.
Yes, and thank you, Gareth, for the opportunity to speak to you. I'm going to hold you to that drink because I really want to be your friend.
Well,
hashtag the same squad goals.
It's the end of the year. It's the end of the year. We've got some time in our hands. Why the hell not? Don't miss this. If you haven't heard enough of Lerato this morning, 11 o'clock today, for two whole hours, every weekday on touchcentral.fm.
Yes, indeed.
Beautiful. And her producer, Pashida.
Whom I love.
You love. You guys talk a lot in the show.
Yeah, we are. I think we're like the most, so connected to each other. Me and Pashida, we're so tight. That was a good pairing. So thank you for that.
I think so.
And you said to me she was going to be lovely, and she was absolutely
lovely.
She has
not let you down.
No, she has not.
All right, thank you, Lerato.
This is CliffCentral.com.